everyone. Welcome to No Smut Shaming. I'm Crystal.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're here to discuss all your favorite romance reads.
And all the dirty details.
This week, we'll be talking about K.A. Lynn's book, A Right Christmas.
But first, Christmas is coming around the mountain. Are you excited?
Coming around the mountain?
I'm in the full Christmas spirit.
Are you?
We've got the house decorated. Ben put lights up outside for the first time.
He did.
We got a tree for the bedroom.
Is fully domesticated.
Yeah. I mean, this is a Christmas house.
Yes.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
I also got us a gingerbread house to do, but it's a football stadium. And on the box, it says, like, the teams are reindeer and elves.
Wow.
I mean, it's just so cute. Mm-hmm, I can't wait.
Where did you get it?
Target.
Really?
Yeah.
So
$9.
We got a gingerbread house set from Target, and it was a piece of shit.
What?
Just letting you know.
Why are you bringing me down? Like, what was bad about it?
So we got one where you could do four mini ones.
I saw that,
right?
One. Like a little village.
It was, the icing is so bad. First, you got to warm it with your hands, right? So you're just like looking like you're milking a cow. And even when it comes out, it's just like,
you're really bringing me down.
It's not good. I mean, granted, I'm doing it with my kids. And so we could only salvage one little house that we did. And then Gracie just started like licking everything. And so I was like, ew.
Like, because in my mind, we're in a Hallmark film, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's like some jingle music playing.
Right.
The tree is lit. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, ha ha ha, pass me the icing.
Right.
And like decorate.
I do think if you're going to do it, the bigger one is better. And mm-hmm. so if you're just doing one big one, I think it would be a lot easier because we just had itty bitty ones. And so it was just harder to get.
I got you.
And there was like 1,000 pieces. I was like, why is this? It was like, I'm an architect and I have to put all this together. It was too much for me.
OK, yeah. I'm excited now.
Yay.
Thank you. Maybe we'll do it next weekend and I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what do you want for Christmas this year? Anything exciting?
I want a bookcase.
Yeah, the one with the doors, right?
Yes. Our room, for whatever reason, gets super dusty. And
I mean,
so
same.
I'm like, I don't want to dust that shit. And so I wanted one with doors so I didn't have to do
extra
work.
And you picked one out from IKEA.
I picked one out from IKEA, but we don't live near an IKEA. And shipping is more than the bookcase. I'm not going to do that.
So you're making a trip?
I thought about it. But then Matt found one almost the exact same at Home Depot.
Oh, nice.
And it would be cheaper to do it that
sure.
way if you incorporated the cost of shipping. So
okay, nice.
So just that. What about you?
So my grandma got me this plate that's really cute from Nora Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's an author.
She knows Nora Roberts.
You can tell.
Why hasn't she hooked
where
us
my
up?
Head's out. Nora Fleming. Oh my God, I'm losing it. You can get little charms to go on the plate.
It's really cute.
And she has so much cute stuff. She has like different types of plates mm-hmm. and serving dishes and different charms.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at it, I feel like I need everything.
How many charms are out there? Like, she have a charm for everything?
Yeah.
Really?
There's a little sombrero that's really cute.
Wow.
There's just some cute stuff out there.
So it's like a charm bracelet for
your
dishware.
Serving platters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know. It's so cute. So got my eye on some things.
What are you going to get Ben? What does Ben want?
We're not going to do gifts this year.
Nice. Every year I try to convince Matt, I don't want to do gifts. We're grown. Let's just deal with the kids. But every year I feel like he thinks it's a trick. And he's like, I gotta get her something. And so he still tries to like, hey, what do you want? And I'm like, look, this year, if you have to get me something, I just want the bookcase. I don't need anything.
Right.
But I swear every year he's like, it's
so
a trick.
What are you gonna get him?
That's why I don't know. And I'm like, you don't have to get me the bookcase. Like, I just like, I don't know.
So
I,
we had said like, we're not gonna do gifts. And Ben was like, really?
Uh-huh.
Like
he also might think it's a trick.
Yeah. And I was like, it's not a trick. Let's not do it. So it's off the table this year, which is kind of nice. But we draw
stressful.
Names in his family. So I will get somebody a gift and they'll get me something. And that's enough.
That's really it. I'm just so over the gift giving, to be honest with you.
I know.
Especially with kids.
I feel like work.
When you're three, it's quantity over quality. And
right.
And then my house is just full of plastic shit and I can't handle it.
Okay, Grinch.
I love Christmas, but when you have kids, you're on the other side of it now.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're having to buy all these presents.
Yeah.
It's not as fun when you're just like, gimme, 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 when you're a child.
I know. I think I want to start a new tradition this year where I make homemade cinnamon rolls for Christmas morning.
That's a good idea.
I think that could be fun.
That's a lot of work, cinnamon rolls.
I know. Maybe like prep the night before. We don't have a lot of traditions yet because
you're new.
We're new.
We don't have any.
But that could
be
fun.
And we're old.
Well, I'm excited for Christmas. I love the spirit. I love the tree.
I love Christmas. A Hallmarky. I do. I love it all.
This week, we're going to do a Christmas book to maybe get you in the spirit. This week, we're doing A Right Christmas by K.A. Lind. Mm-hmm. This has a 4.17 on Goodreads. So I did not know before I started this book, this is actually part of a 9-book series, and it's the Right family.
Right, and you realize that once you start reading this book.
Yeah, I didn't realize to what extent this was a series.
Yeah.
I think it is marketed as a standalone. I don't think it's quite a standalone.
It's not. Otherwise, it's just like so many characters that you know nothing about are being mentioned, and you're just like, ooh. Yeah.
So I would say
I would read it as a series.
Yeah. But that's our book this week.
So a quick little book summary is Peyton and Isaac are high school sweethearts but haven't spoken in 16 years. While Peyton has been off in New York City becoming one of the best ballerinas in the country, Isaac has been back home in Lubbock raising his daughter. When a dancing job brings Peyton back to Lubbock, her and Isaac are quick to restart that flame. We're about to dive into Peyton and Isaac as they try to find their way back to each other. Let's get into it.
Okay, so we have Peyton who is back home in Lubbock, Texas, mm-hmm. after being in New York City for the past 16 years as a ballerina. Her sister Piper is picking her up at the airport. Peyton's here for an entire month, which is a lot considering she's only ever been home for a few days here and there for the past 16 years. Mm-hmm. Being back home starts to bring back some memories for her. She starts to think about her first love, Isaac Donahue.
Ooh.
And she hasn't seen him for 16 years since she left for New York. And he was her first everything.
Everything.
Her first kiss, her first love.
Her first...
Mm-hmm. And she knows being back that it's not a small town, but it's small enough to where she knows she's going to run into him at some point. She'll be staying with her sister while she's here.
I do think it would be interesting to see a boy that you dated when you were a kid, you know, and you have a teenage body and yeah. then you come back and he's like a man. You know, he's like, ugh, he's like all filled out.
But I feel like most men would be filled out in like a beer belly way. And Isaac Donahue's...
Not in romance books.
Not in a romance book. He's filled out in like a 6-pack kind of way. So she'll be staying with her sister while she's here because she has a spare bedroom. And once she gets settled, she immediately puts on her dance clothes and heads to the ballet studio.
Right. Like she doesn't see her parents or her grandmother.
No, she is like ballet.
Back to work.
Because she has agreed to be the Sugar Plum Fairy in the Nutcracker mm-hmm. for their performance. And when she gets to the studio, she goes to visit her teacher from when she was younger.
Kathy. Have you ever seen the Nutcracker?
Yeah, actually, my grandma and mom and I used to go every year when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
My mom hated it. She was like, ugh, the Nutcracker, it's so boring. But I was like, oh, the ballet, that's so fun.
Yeah.
But my mom shit talks the Nutcracker at any chance she
She's like, this is garbage.
Well, she went to it every year for so many years just like, oh, they just dance up there. But I haven't seen it as an adult.
So is the Sugar Plum Fairy like the main character?
No, it's Clara. So the Nutcracker story is little girl Clara.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's Christmas Eve and her parents are having this big party at the house.
Mm-hmm.
But then she kind of goes into this own little world where the Nutcrackers come to life and these characters come to life. And
okay.
there's mice included. Honestly, it's kind of fuzzy for me. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Okay.
But Clara is the main character. But it sounds like from this book, the Sugar Plum Fairy has like a solo.
She's like a big
She's
part.
A big deal. So yeah, Peyton is the Sugar Plum Fairy.
Mm.
So now we meet Isaac, and Isaac works for Jensen Wright Construction. And this is the point I realized that this is a full series.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not read anything about Wright Construction, but it must be like a huge backdrop for the other stories.
Right.
Because his boss is Jensen Wright, and they go into a lot of detail about Jensen and his sister. I think Morgan is her name.
Yeah.
We get a lot of detail and updates on the Wright family,
mm-hmm.
which I don't personally know. But his boss, Jensen Wright, tells him that a professional soccer league is coming to Lubbock. Their company has the green light to start the design.
Ooh.
He's chosen Isaac to design it or be the head
project manager. Mm-hmm.
Because Isaac almost went pro in soccer. It didn't work out for him, but this is like his dream job now, to design a soccer stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac and Jensen have been planning for hours. They lose track of time and it's already 4:30 and he has to go pick up his daughter, Allie. And Allie is 5 and she loves to dance. She has like fire red hair, just seems like super cute.
Mm-hmm.
So Isaac heads to the ballet studio to pick her up. And when he walks in, he thinks he's having a hallucination. He's like, he thinks he's losing his mind because he sees Peyton,
right,
his high school sweetheart. And she is equally as shocked to see him because, again, she knew she might run into him.
But not this quick.
But not on her. She's been there for like a couple hours.
Right.
And already Isaac Donahue, ooh, walks in. And they small talk for a few minutes before the little kid ballet class gets let out. Mm-hmm. And the cute little red-haired girl runs straight into Isaac's arms. And up until that point, Peyton had not even thought about what would be bringing him into the ballet studio.
Right.
And she thinks back to 16 years ago when she made a choice and she could either pursue her dreams of being a ballerina in New York City, or she could have a family and life with Isaac. And she obviously chose New York.
Mm-hmm.
But now that she's seen Isaac with a child, she's like, this is what my life would have looked like had I not chosen that. And all she wanted to know was like, who is this girl's mother? Like, who is his wife? What's the deal?
She wants to know the backstory.
Which I don't blame her. 16 years is a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that night, Peyton's talking to her sister Piper and says that she ran into Isaac at the ballet studio.
Which I'm a little shocked, to be honest with you. If they were each other's like first and they were so in love, no family member has kept her updated.
Yeah, she has no idea.
No idea that he even was married and that he had a child.
That's actually a good point.
I just find that hard to believe. I think they tried to say like, oh, well, she's just not on social media. You know, when you talk to parents, they always want to fill you in on everything. So
I never thought about that, because she asked Piper if the mom was in the picture.
Yeah.
And she tells her that she died in childbirth, which is like the most depressing thing ever. But she was like, so he's single.
And I'm
like, oh, yeah, girl, he's single. But so on Isaac's side, he runs what seems to be a rec soccer league called the Tacos, which I do appreciate their right. team name a little bit.
And either it's Peyton's sister plays on it or her sister's friend.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, when Isaac walks into their soccer game that night, he sees Peyton in the stands and he's like, whoa, she's still hot. Like, he's still like, damn. But then he just like goes to get warmed up for his game. And his friends kind of tease him about it a little bit because he's like, yeah, we used to date in high school. But they play their game. They end up winning and everyone is heading out to a pizza joint. But Isaac is like not in the mood for pizza, which pizza sounds awesome.
Yeah, sounds really good right now.
But he's like, bleh. So he asks Peyton if she wants to grab ice cream with him. And she agrees. So they order their ice cream and find a quiet spot in the back of Brahms.
I love that they brought up Brahms.
I know, me too.
Because that is a very Midwest sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I was reading this, like, I wonder if people think Brahms is just like a small town. But Brahms is a chain.
It's a chain, but I think it's primarily here, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Are we defined as the Midwest or are we defined as the South?
So that's so funny because I asked Ben this recently because Oklahoma's in that weird...
We're in the middle. Right.
Ben said the South.
I've heard that we're actually the South, but a lot of people define us as the Midwest.
I know. It's like this weird area on the map. So I think that Brahms is a southern thing.
It's a southern thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like Brahms?
I like Brahms, but I never go.
We go all the time.
You do.
Brahms is down the street from us. And so it's like our go-to.
Do you go for dinner or just for ice cream?
Oh my God. We go for breakfast.
Really?
Yeah. Whenever we're just like, the kids want breakfast, but I'm too lazy.
Huh. We don't have one close to us, I don't think.
Like, we get the bag of burgers. You can get 5 burgers for like $5.95. And so.
Is it good?
I mean, yeah, it's a good burger.
Where's my nearest Brahms?
I don't know.
Let me look it up. Because our go-to is Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I wonder how far Chick-fil-A stretches. Further than Brahms, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, those are like in California.
They're everywhere. Right?
Yeah. But my friend Anna, who lives in Connecticut, every time she comes home for the holidays, her first stop is Brahms.
Really?
Yeah, that's how much she loves Brahms.
I've been for ice cream.
The ice cream's good.
But they go for ice cream at Brahms.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of catch up with each other. She asks about his soccer career because she knew he wanted to go pro.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of confesses nothing ever came of it. He had a hard time in college and it just didn't work out for him. But now he works for Wright Construction and he likes his job. He asks about her life, mentions that he heard she was dating a famous ballet dancer at one point.
I feel like he has tried to kind of keep up a little bit with her.
It does sound that way.
While she is like, only me.
He also said that her life is sometimes in celebrity magazines and she has a piece in Time
right.
magazine.
Like, she's a big deal.
Which at this point, I guess I didn't realize to what level of fame she was at, mm-hmm. but it sounds like she's almost like a Misty Copeland.
Who's that?
She's a very famous ballet dancer
okay.
who's more of like a modern dancer. She doesn't quite have the stick figure.
Right.
She was their first African-American dancer.
Mm-hmm.
She's a pretty big deal. Like, I know her and I'm not in the ballet world.
Uh-huh.
And so it made me think that she was kind of like a Misty Copeland.
Okay.
Which means she would be a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting for me because Misty Copeland's like one in a million.
Right.
Which is what they do make her seem like in this book, is that big of a deal.
She's amazing. Yeah.
So she's what I had in mind when I read this
book. Like, Lubbock is like so excited for her just to be there.
Yeah. But they end up leaving Brahms after talking a bit more, and he drops her off at home. But she walks up to the door, and then she turns around and runs back to his car and invites him to a charity event where they're going to be showcasing the cast for the Nutcracker before opening night.
Mm-hmm.
And he happily agrees, and you can tell he wants to see her dance again. At the rehearsal showcase thing, I kind of feel like we're acting as if Peyton is Beyonce.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
Again, like, I do get it if she is a Misty Copeland. But
I think,
like,
when you come from like a smaller town and you become anything of substance... Yeah. Like, you're a big deal. You're a celebrity.
And she does great. Everyone is super impressed with her and can't wait to see her perform on opening night. And when she has some people that are just gushing over her, Isaac shows up and pulls her aside, kind of saves her from this rush of people who want to talk to her.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Out of your graduating class in high school, has anyone become like super famous or celebrity?
No, I don't think so.
Nobody?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Do you have someone? You have one, I thought.
Yeah, there's one guy that I can't remember his name now, but he is like one of the main producers or something for Marvel movies.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember I went to my reunion last year?
Yeah.
And he was there.
Like, that's a cool job.
Yeah.
Now, he does ask her how she's allowed to have this much time off because mm-hmm. it is Christmas. And he's like, shouldn't you be performing the Nutcracker at Lincoln Center instead of at the Lubbock Ballet?
Lincoln Center. Wow.
I know. But she just kind of brushes it off and says it just worked out for her time off.
Such a humble ballerina.
But he is right here. I mean, Christmas time is,
it would be,
some
a big
would
deal.
Say, the biggest time for ballet.
Right.
Right?
That's the only time most people would go see ballet if they were
already going.
Right.
But while they're kind of chatting, Kathy comes up and says she's going into labor. So Kathy and her husband leave for the hospital. But now Peyton realizes there's nobody to direct the production of the Nutcracker because she's early.
Mm-hmm.
She's a couple weeks early. And so... What?
Okay, as somebody who's had babies, how do you not plan for that? I get that you're like, oh, my other ones were late, and so you just assume this one's going to be late too. But you should just plan like 4 weeks early that this
really
baby could come anytime.
Didn't have a backup plan.
She had zero backup plan.
I mean, they had somebody who was going to step in for her maternity leave, but they don't start for 6 more weeks. They were just not ready for it.
No.
So Peyton actually has to step in, and she offers to help out, and she's going to be...
When they said in the
director.
Book that she was like, oh, yeah, I'm not due for another 3 weeks, I was like, oh, my gosh, you could have the baby now.
Right. And she did. It's a little hectic, but Peyton also is just like, I've danced every role before, so I could just step into this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Here's your first course.
Thank you. We have to take a break. I'm so hungry.
Okay.
One point, Peyton looks at Isaac and is like, this is not how I thought this night would go. And he's just like, same. I was actually going to ask you on a date, but maybe now's not the right timing. And she turns to him kind of surprised, but she's like, I would really like that. I want to go on a date with you. So the next night is opening night and everyone has pre-show jitters, and especially little Allie. Allie goes and finds Peyton and she's really sweet. She's so scared and nervous. She's like, I'm not sure if I can go on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But Peyton is really sweet with her and takes the time to show her, you know, what to do when she gets nervous, where to look. And when the show starts, it's great. Everybody loves it. But after her solo, she hobbles off stage because of her knee. And it turns out that a while back, she pretty badly injured her knee during a performance.
Well, she's been dancing for 16 plus years. Like, eventually that knee's going to go.
I know. And it took a lot of physical therapy to heal it and for her to get back to dancing.
But it wasn't even healed all the way. I think she keeps telling people, yeah, I'm good.
She's not good.
She's not good.
Each time she dances hard, she feels it. So after the show, she...
Girl, your time is up.
Your knee is telling you it's too much.
Yeah.
So after the show, she goes to find her family waiting for her and cheering for her. And she also says a quick hello to Isaac and Allie. But when she gets home, the first thing she does, again, is ice her knee.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister is concerned because, like everyone else, she thought she was healed.
Mm-hmm.
But Peyton still just brushes her off, says it's just preventative icing. Even though it's clearly not, she's mm-hmm. in pain. We fast forward. It's now the night of Peyton and Isaac's first date.
Oh.
In 16 years. And she's getting ready and she's a little nervous, but she's excited. And then someone mentions that it's Isaac's first date. since his wife died. His first date since his wife died in childbirth with his daughter. And so I was like, no pressure. Jeez, that's a big one. But thankfully, before she can kind of overthink it, think too much about it, the door knocks and it's Isaac. And they get in the car and he surprises her by taking her to her family's vineyard. Mm-hmm. He shows her that her family had put lights up everywhere. And wow. It's so beautiful.
All for her.
And it sounds like her family spent over a month getting this light display ready for her to welcome her home. And now here's my bone to pick, because I know they did give Isaac permission to be the one to show her this huge display, but I feel like her family should have done it.
Yeah.
They like worked so hard to put together, like for over a month to put together this huge.
And did she like go home and say, oh my God, it's amazing. Thank you.
No, Isaac was like, let me show you the world. I was like, Isaac, you didn't do nothing.
I know.
He just like was like, look at what your family did.
I feel like they did that because they were like, they want her back home. I think he's the way for her to come back home.
I know. I guess that's true. But he walks her up to a point where they have a good view. They get some drinks and just kind of spend some time together.
Yeah. Are they drinking like hot wine?
I don't know. Hot wine sounds bad, though.
Well, it was an alcoholic beverage, and I thought it was a wine.
I guess I assumed it was like a cider.
Okay.
As they're sitting there, moving on, Crystal, she's reminded of their teenage years together. And she just can't believe they made it back here to this point later in life. And when they're totally having a moment, he goes in for the kiss. Mm-hmm. And then after, he also invites her to the Wright Christmas party that's coming up.
Which sounds like it's a huge deal for the town.
Okay.
They make it sound like it's like the Regatta Gala.
Does sound like a really big deal.
Yeah.
I kind of wish we had some sort of office Christmas party like you see in a movie.
1,000%.
Where everybody just gets drunk and
dressed
dances.
Up.
Yeah. And, yeah, dressed up. You have an open bar. I think private companies do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if public companies with HR departments do.
That's true.
Like ours.
Yeah.
But for the next few days, Peyton has been really busy. She's in the studio making sure all the dancers are ready because now she is the artistic director.
Ooh.
For the Nutcracker.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going really well because they've sold out nearly every show for the season.
Well, yeah, they have like a New York City ballerina heading it all up.
That's true.
It's like the only time they're probably going to see that.
But she does have one challenging student.
There's always one.
Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, Caitlin sounds like a bitch.
She's a brat.
She's probably 17.
I assume they were like 16, 17.
16, 17. She is super rude and she's angry because she was not cast as Clara. And so she's constantly trying to take down the girl who does play Clara, Bebe. And at one point, Peyton has to basically kick Caitlin out of her class because she's obnoxious about everything. She's trying to make Bebe feel bad and point out her flaws. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of bringing everyone down. She's a spoiled brat.
She's a bitch.
Caitlin sucks. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we fast forward. It's now the night of the Regatta Gala. The Wright Construction Christmas Party. So again, this is my first book in the Wright series. I'm sure if you've read this series, you will appreciate all the cameos from which I can only assume are characters from previous Wright books. But I did not read those books. So
it just felt like a lot.
Well, I ended up having, I just like skipped quite a few pages because they spend the party small talking with people from the Wright company that I don't know.
Which is a lot.
I probably skipped 20 pages.
Yeah.
They just kept going to different pockets of people giving updates on their lives, which I think you would appreciate if you had read their books.
Right.
But I did not. So all these updates from people who are strangers to me felt like a lot for me.
That's why I think it would be hard to classify this as a standalone.
Yeah. But eventually at the party, they go outside for a moment alone and Isaac confesses something. He tells her that when his soccer career ended in college, he flew out to New York to watch one of her shows. And he tells her that he waited for her after the show with flowers. But when she came out, she was laughing with her friends. And he knew then that she was where she was supposed to be. So he just quietly left.
Mm.
And then he tells her that back then, he didn't think they ever had a chance. But now that she's back, she's the only thing he wants.
Mm.
He's in love and she's all like, swoon. And then he's like, you want to get out of here? And she's like, I thought you'd never ask. So they stumble up to the hotel room, basically clawing at each other. Mm-hmm. And he gets down to business quick. And he pushes her onto the bed, takes her dress off. He goes down on her. And then she compares everything to like a symphony building her up.
Yeah.
And then he just takes his monster D out and gets busy with it. And what started out as like a rushed thing turned into some gymnastics. Like, I know she's flexible.
Yeah, he was
she's like a dancer.
Oh, I forgot how bendy she is.
But she does like the splits on his dick. Yeah. Like, she is.
And he's like, oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I forgot about that. And I was like, what? But either way, they do the dance. Mm-hmm. And right after, she's like, round two. And he's all, yes, please. And so the next day, Peyton goes to the studio to start working on some things. And there's two crabby looking adults waiting out front. Turns out it's bratty Caitlin's parents. Mm-hmm. And they're mad.
And they're both attorneys.
Oh my gosh. So here's the thing. So Peyton's like, let's go into the office. We can chat privately. And the two parents just like tantrum storm back there and are start screeching about how their daughter is
how
the
best
dancer.
How dare you treat our daughter like this?
She's a gold star.
Okay.
She should have been cast as Clara. They're like, we don't spend all this time and money here for Caitlin to be kicked out of class. But Peyton keeps her cool.
She handles it pretty well.
She does. And these parents are honestly embarrassing.
They're horrible.
And on their way out, they yell that they're going to go to the board. And the mom was like, we'll have your job for this. We're very powerful attorneys.
I know.
I was like, this is the worst tantrum ever. This is embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing. Come on. To throw your profession around, like, it can get you so far.
But it's just like a kid who's just like, I'm going to tell my mom. They're like, we're very powerful. Mm-hmm. It's like, your daughter's a dancer. And right. Love, like, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyways, so this weekend is the last weekend of the show, and they have another good performance, except when Peyton exits the stage after her solo, she trips on something, falls, and lands super hard on her bad knee. And she looks around and sees that she tripped over a ballet shoe, and it has the name BB on it. But she knows that BB would never be so careless.
Right.
So she goes back to where all the dancers are, and she knows that Caitlin put the shoe there. And she's like, Caitlin, you're out. You're being kicked out of the company.
So I will say this, though. I felt like that was kind of a bold move for her to do without actual proof that she did it. I mean, yeah, we know that she's a shitty person and she most likely did it.
But it could have been an accident.
But it could have been an accident. If her parents are attorneys, they're going to want proof that she did that. You know? I don't know.
She
That's
does
just, me.
Just like call out Caitlin and she's like, I know you did this.
Yeah, she's like, you're out. And I'm
you're
like,
out. And she's like, you intentionally tried to harm a principal dancer. And the consequence is that you're out of the company.
I don't know anything about ballet, so I'm assuming you being a principal
That's
dancer
the top tier.
Means like you're untouchable.
Yeah, you're like the number one.
Okay.
But Peyton does give her a chance. She goes, you know, if you confess and apologize, then you'll just be on probation. And Caitlin shocks everyone, and she does do that. She starts crying, and she confesses, and she apologizes.
Because she says ballet is all she has.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. She's still a brat, but still a kid, I guess. So after that whole drama is settled, Peyton goes back to her dressing room and just lets the tears fall. Mm-hmm. And about 30 minutes later, Isaac's been waiting for her to come out after the show, and it's been about an hour now. So Isaac goes to find her, and she's just been in her dressing room the whole time crying, basically unable to move because of her knee. So Isaac slowly helps her get dressed and then carries her to his car so he can drive her home, which I thought was really sweet. And he gets her comfortable, gets her ice, but it's also snowing that night, so he plans to stay the night with her. And at one point, he confesses that he's falling for her all over again.
Because, you know, when it snows in the South, everyone freaks out.
Like a drop of snow, they're like, shut it down. No, driving here. Even like a light rain will do that. And he says that he knows her life is in New York, but he wants to make it work. And he says, you know, if you want to make it work too, we will make it work.
Right.
And she says yes. So the next day, they only now have one or two shows left. And they have some fun plans for after the show. And then Peyton has plans to go see his soccer game and spend Christmas with everybody. But then she gets a call from the New York Ballet Company. Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the girls at the company is now injured and can't perform for the rest of the week, and they need her to come back and play mm-hmm. that part. And Peyton does not want to leave Lubbock. She's liking her life there, and she wanted to have Christmas with her family and spend time with Isaac, but the company is her job. So she says yes, she'll fly back that day. So that night, Isaac is getting ready for a soccer game, and there's a knock at the door. He opens it and sees Peyton, and he can immediately tell something's wrong. And she tells him that she has to go back to New York. And she also says, you know, what we have between us, even though it's wonderful, it's over. She's right. like, my life isn't here. My life is in New York.
So everything she said the night before.
Yeah. She kind of goes back on it. And she's like, it's not possible to mm-hmm. do long distance and be happy.
And I just find it shocking because he's so willing to do whatever it takes to make it work. Even if it's long distance.
Yes, he's just begging her to give them a chance. Right. He tells her he loves her. And he's like, this love we have is worth fighting for. Please don't go. Let's mm-hmm. talk about this.
She's like, bye.
She just keeps being like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, yeah. I'm sorry. And then just runs back to the car.
I just think that was shitty.
It was pretty bad. And about a week goes by. Isaac has been depressing like everyone in his life because he's just a sad bum without her. He's mm-hmm. just sad. On the flip side, Peyton has just been pretty much just busy. But she also does miss him. But she's like dancing every night and day. So I don't know if she can really feel it as much as he does. She just seems busy.
I just feel like at some point, I wish she would have come to that conclusion of I miss him. Like I miss him more than I like doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like she just never had that.
No, because one night she's leaving the show mm-hmm. and she feels like a little tug on her jacket and she turns around, looks down and sees Allie standing there with yeah. flowers.
So Isaac and Allie flew their asses to New York because they're, again, he's trying to win her again for like the third time. I'm like, what sacrifice did she do?
I Nothing. Know, because he's there again, just being like, this is worth fighting for me. They all go back to her apartment and they put Allie to bed that night and Peyton and Isaac can finally have a much needed conversation. And Isaac tells her, you know, like he's been thinking about this and he has a plan for them. He knows that she still probably has a few good years left in her ballet career. So he's decided that he and Allie will move to New York for her.
Oh my God.
He'll get a transfer and work in the New York office for his job. And he's like, Allie's young. She'll adjust. He knows it'll be hard.
He's willing to uproot.
I know.
Him and his daughter for this woman who still at this point has not even said anything about moving back.
I know. And he's telling her his whole plan to make this work, to move there for her. But she stops him. She said she's already decided that while she loves being a dancer, considering that her knee is just not going to hold up much longer, she's decided to retire a little bit early.
She said that after he was like, I'm willing to relocate for you. She said the moment he said that, that's when she realized like, I should go back.
Yeah.
Come on. It wasn't the moment she saw him. It was after he was willing to sacrifice all of that. Then yeah. she was like, you know what? I'll do this for you. I'm going to move back.
I know. She does say she's going to retire and she is going to move back. The next day, Peyton is showing Isaac and Allie around New York before she needs to head to rehearsals when she gets a call from Kathy. And Kathy tells her, like, with this new... Crystal's face.
How convenient.
Crystal is just, like, peak annoyed. But Kathy's like, with this new baby, I'm just not interested in spending all of my time at the dance studio anymore.
Yeah.
So she's calling to offer Peyton the job of full-time artistic director for the Lubbock Company, which is like a dream job for her.
Right.
So Peyton quickly accepts and says she'll be home in about 6 months after she finishes out her current contract mm-hmm. with the New York Company. Now we have the epilogue. It's been a year, so now it's the next Christmas. And for the past 6 months, she's been loving working for the Lubbock Company. Mm-hmm. She moved in immediately with Isaac and Allie. Allie's now 6 and just still just as cute. And they're all just spending time together. And then Allie gives Peyton a present. And when she opens it, she sees a small black box. And then Isaac proposes. And she's so happy and crying. Allie says she's excited because Peyton can be her new mommy. Mm. And that's it. The end.
The end.
Crystal hated it.
I just wish that she would have done some sort of sacrificing for him. I understand making that decision when you're 18. You know, you got to think about your career.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're pretty much near retirement. You have this guy ready and willing to be with you. He has a good career.
Yeah.
You're pretty much at the end of yours. Why not make that sacrifice to show him how much you care about him?
I know.
But instead, she goes back to New York.
Like, do you think had he not flown out there, she would have ever gone back?
It didn't seem like it. You know, it yeah. had been like a week or something. Mm-hmm. You didn't even reach out to him. You didn't do anything.
I liked it. The only part I didn't like was all the cameos from previous people right. in previous books that I didn't know. But again, if you do know them, I think you would appreciate the cameo.
Right.
But I'm just not on that side of things. So that was my one grievance. There were quite a few pages I had to skip because I wasn't interested in updates from people I didn't know. That was my biggest thing. I thought it was okay.
It was okay.
I wish there was a little more Christmas. in it. It kind of felt like Die Hard, right? Like it's set in Christmas, but it's an action movie.
Right.
I felt like this was, the backdrop was Christmas, kind of, because of the Nutcracker only comes around in December. But there wasn't like Christmas festivities. There was no like ice skating and snowball fights. And that's what I'm looking for.
And I don't know if it was because the book was a shorter read, but I just didn't feel invested in the characters to be like, oh, I hope they work out. I was just more annoyed with her.
Yeah.
And I felt like he deserved better, especially with having a daughter and being a single dad. Felt like she could have done better.
Yeah. Well, that was our book this week. Let us know what you guys thought. I'm curious.
If you've read the other books, let us know if it makes a difference.
If you've read the series, were you more invested in? Did you like them more? Let us know. So our next episode is actually not a book episode. We're going to do the No Smut Shaming Awards.
Oh, yeah.
So we have some categories picked out and we're going to crown some winners for different categories.
Mm-hmm. We're
going
to talk about just our experience in the last 8 months as new podcasters.
Yeah.
We're going to just kind of wrap it up for the year.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun. Well, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and subscribe to our podcast.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.